Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Thanks for listening to the Believe You Me podcast, which is brought to you by Manscaped.com, the very best in below-the-belt grooming.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, folks, it's your old pal Mike Harrington here. Just wanted to let you guys know that with Bisbing out filming a movie in Bulgaria, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. We just weren't able to get a second episode in this week, but we didn't want to leave you guys hanging because we do that sometimes and we get a lot of complaints and it's a whole to-do. So we put together a best of talking about fights that happen outside of the ring, outside of the octagon, outside of the cage, whatever you want to call it. Street fights, brawls, fights at press conferences, whatever the case may be. If we covered it in the last year or so, it's on here. So enjoy this, and we'll be back on Monday. Anthony and Bisbing talking about God knows what, because there's no fights this weekend.
So Conor McGregor, the day starts off, he's at the Vatican. He gets his kid christened at the Vatican, which is fucking awesome, right? I've been to the Vatican. What a great place that is. And Conor's pulled some strings. I don't know if you can just pay a large amount of money. I'm assuming you can. And he's got fucking christened at the Vatican. Amazing. And then he's gone out. And typically after those kind of events, and I know what the Irish are like, because they're just like the English, the British, and I'm sure the Americans are exactly the same. All the family gets together. You have a few drinks. And by the way, I don't know this. I haven't spoken to Conor or anybody in his circle, but this is generally what happens at a christening. It is in the UK and Ireland. What about over here?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's like, it's a thing where all the family gets together and, yeah. So, I have to bail on one this weekend.
And if you have a big drunk family, like mine, you get super hammered.
Anytime my family would get together for these kind of things, it would always end up violence. I swear to God, it would always end up kicking off. There'd always be a fight on the dance floor, or my mum and dad were throwing fucking plates at one another or whatever. It was always crazy. But anyway, I'm not saying that's what happened here. They went out, they had a lovely christening, I'm sure. But then they went out, okay, Conor and his wife, right? And this is all second or third party information, okay, because it's reported everywhere. And I said this on my YouTube. I said, I'm not adding to it. This is being spoken about literally all over. You go online, you're going to see this, okay? So we'll fucking talk about it. Obviously, he's gone out. He was with this DJ, Francisco Facchinetti, and they were going to leave. And he said, hey, Francisco, do you want to fucking come? Do you want to come back to this party? So it is. Got a fucking great party. And Francisco Facchinetti's like, yes, I go. And he's like, you fucking go. Bang. And McGregor punches him in the face. Right? And then everyone dives in. And then from there, we dived in and we're diving out. Oh, here we go. I didn't like this. Here it is, Francisco Facchinetti going, look at me. Look at my little boo-boo. Right?
I feel like he's blaming Conor for his herp.
That does look like herpes, but it does look like his teeth has hit his gum, right? You know, that's why you wear a gum shield. He's got a little boo-boo. You know what I mean? That's like one of Lewis's injuries when he's training. Do you know what I mean? He's going like this, and he's saying he had a broken nose. I am not sticking up for Conor McGregor. I'm not here to do that. That's not who I am. Simple as that. But I don't see a broken nose. If you got a broken nose, you got busted eyes. You look like fucking Mike Perry after the Vicente Luque fight. I did not see evidence of a broken nose. I did see potential evidence of someone that's been punched though.
Yeah. I mean, you could see it on his bottom lip as well. What he said was, the DJ said, what he's most upset about and the reason why he's suing him is because that punch could have happened to anybody. It was completely unprovoked. It could have happened to his wife, any of his friends who were with him. There was absolutely no reason for McGregor to throw that shot. It says that he hit him. He flew back onto a table and then hit the ground. And McGregor tried to continue attacking him as his friends held him back.
Yeah, and if we look at the facts that we know, right? And I'm not close to the situation, and you know, I do know Conor's management, of course, you know, but I haven't spoken to anybody. I'm basing my comments now off what we as the public know, right? So let's just take that at face value. Let's say he did just punch him out of the blue. And we have no reason to suggest that he's lying. And why is that? Well, because he's saying he's unstable. Look at the VMAs a few weeks ago with Machine Gun Kelly. He was looking a bit fucking unstable there, swinging his drinks over everyone on the fucking red carpet, with a celebrity star-studded event, and waving his cane around. That's not a fucking stable person. He cracks the old guy in the bar. Do you know what I mean? And this thing with the phone with a fan. There's been plenty of things. But he gets away with it. He gets away with it. And I'm not trying to condemn Conor McGregor, right? But I know, for example, when I was younger and I was always getting into fights and I was being a little shit and I get in a little bit of trouble with the police, but then I get away with it, you know? I'd get like a little fine, a little slap on the wrist. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? When you're getting away with it, you don't need to change. Right. And certainly when you're fucking world famous like Conor McGregor and you've got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank and everyone's on the fucking gravy train and everyone's kissing your ass. Right. It's hard to be held accountable in those kind of situations. And I feel that's kind of what we're seeing. And he's kind of, in some ways, I use the word victim very lightly, a victim of his own success, you know, because he's not. I don't know. I'm assuming this is not, you know, I assume it's hard for him to have real people around him that tell him what he needs to hear.
So that's super interesting to me in the sense that, like, obviously he had the Dolly incident with Khabib, you know, he had to go to court over that. He had to go to court over the phone thing, like you said. I'm not sure if charges were ever filed with the punching the man thing. He was brought in for questioning a number of times for different cases. You know, he has had a number of run-ins with police, but as you said, he hasn't faced any consequences. My question is, there a set of consequences big enough for him to change his ways, or is he just reached a point of money and celebrity where it's like, all right, throw 2 years at me, fine, like I'll get out and keep being the same guy?
No, I don't think that would happen, and I don't think we're going to come to that either. I don't actually think any criminal stuff is going to be coming to play on this one. There's no cell phone footage around. If there was, that would have made it online by now, let's be honest. Apparently, his guards turned the lights off when it all kicked off, and then the DJ's, Francisco fucking Eddie's fucking, the fucking piece of fucking, the fucking girlfriend, she turned the lights on. She turned the lights on, and then they turned the lights off because they don't want to see this, okay? They don't want to see the melee, the punching, they are fucking assaulted on the Francisco Facchinetti. They don't want to see it, so they turned the lights off. So there's no cell phone footage, and there's probably a reason why he hasn't gone to the police. He says he's suing him, right? And if what he said happened, then of course, that is his prerogative, that is his right, and I hope he gets some money out of it. But there is also, the critics would say, well, Conor's just a target. He's a target because he's a rich man and people are always going to try and take that. And again, I'm not sticking up for Conor, but there is truth in that as well. I was targeted. I had some little shit start beefing me in a gym one day and he got in my face and he made all kinds of threats and I snapped and I lost my temper and I grabbed hold of him and he fucking sued me. And that ended up costing me $200,000. You know, it did. It did cost me, in the legal fees I had to pay and the $120,000 compensation I had to give him, it cost me 200 fucking grand. Oh, I know.
120 grand to grab someone.
I grabbed him by the neck, right? Because he got right in my face. And we've talked about this years ago. He got right in my face and he squeals his head up. He said, I know where you fucking live, like that. So, and like that old fucking Clitheroe Mikey B came out. I just grabbed him by the fucking throat. And then when I grabbed him, as soon as I grabbed him, he went, help, help. He's trying to choke me out. He's trying to choke me at the top of his voice. And his demeanor changed. Anyway, then he sued me and that's what happened. But then I saw someone, we were picking up Callum from school. And this guy comes over to me. He says, you're Michael Bisping, right? I said, yeah. He says, you had an incident, didn't you, in the gym? I said, yeah, I did. Well, where's this going? He said, the guy that's suing you, he said he works for my brother's mate. I said, really? And he said, yeah. And they actually said, oh, let's go fuck with Bisping. Come on. So it was all planned. It was all staged. And me being a fucking meathead, I fell for it. Anyway, I'm not saying that's what's happened to McGregor. But you ask Mike Tyson. You ask rich people. You ask, you know, it is a possibility. But Francisco fucking Eddie looks like he got punched in the fucking head.
Well, you know? Yeah, he's also, you know, a famous DJ and a TV star in Italy. I don't think he's going to be the guy who's going to make himself look like, yeah, I just got... honestly, at the end of the day, you get punched in the face and don't punch the guy back, you kind of look bad, even if it's a UFC fighter, right?
Like, No. Listen, something needs to happen because, unfortunately, you know, when you're not held accountable, you don't learn, you know, and you continue to make the same mistakes, and then eventually, something bad might happen. You know, who knows? Maybe he could have been connected to the Italian mob. Could have had a bullet in his head. He could have punched Francisco Facchinetti in the fucking head and he'd gone down and fell on the floor and hit his fucking head. You know what I mean? He could have hit his head and died. You know, no, it's true though. Do you know what I mean? So many different ways that could have played. He's been very lucky so far that he's managed to walk away from all of this with his freedom, without the heavy weight on his consciousness that he's actually hurt somebody, you know, and that it's all realistically, they're all small little minor things, and it's a storm in a teacup and it'll be forgotten about in a few weeks. But still, it's not a good example for the kids, man. For the freaking kids, bro.
All right. I mean, as Charles Barkley said, I'm not your kid's role model. You know, like at the end of the day, yeah. This is a guy who gets in his underwear and fights other grown men in a cage. Like if that's true. Who you're having your kids look at as a role, like that's on you. You know, like
you're right. But that was a joke when I said it's not good for the kids, man. I wasn't serious. But you're right. You're right. Because I always say that, like Sean Strickland is joining us in 5 minutes. You know, I don't agree with everything he says, but I like it because I'm a fan of him fighting. I'm not, you know, I don't want him to be running for office, being a politician in my local area. I don't want him teaching my kids at school, but I don't mind watching him in a fucking octagon trying to smash someone's head in, right? And with the shit that he says. In fact, I even like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is just like what, you know, Brian texted this to us yesterday, right? In a group message, he said, McGregor punched an Italian DJ. What an insane sentence. But it's like you run through the list of what McGregor's done, right? McGregor, you know, grabs phone from fan in Miami. McGregor punches old man. How many of these headlines can we keep having before the UFC does have to step in and be like, dude, get it together. Just no. Like Dana White has given that to John Jones. When is he going to give it to McGregor?
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. How about one time we see it and it's against a guy that can actually handle himself? Francisco Facchinetti looks like a fucking, like he couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. Machine Gun Kelly looks like he would blow away with a good fucking breeze.
He literally looks like a meerkat.
He looks like the softest human being alive. He looks like Brian with AIDS. Yes, Brian.
All right.
Look, that's all. That's all.
It feels like his last four fights have been people who could defend themselves pretty well.
It didn't go well. But what I'm saying is, it's never a 6 foot six meathead covered in steroids and tattoos and shit, is it? And he's like, yeah, fucking come on then. Let's fucking go. Right? It's never that. It's fucking Francisco Facchinetti and Machine Gun Kelly and an old dude in a bar. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of my issue with it. I don't give a fuck if he's out there fighting people. I really don't. If he ends up getting in prison with the law, whatever, you know, and there's plenty of dickheads out there that want a piece. There fucking is. But he doesn't seem to be running into them. He seems to be running into people that don't want a part of it, that don't want a piece of it. You know, Francisco Facchinetti, right? It doesn't look like a fighter. He's a fucking DJ, for crying out loud. And of course, some DJs can never do. But
some DJs hit back.
Do you understand what I mean, though?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the you never.
What's the word for someone that keeps picking on someone like that? What's the word?
Starts with a B, ends with an Ollie.
Yeah, say it, Brian. Harrington.
Bully. It's a bully.
It's a fucking bully, bro. No one likes a bully. No one wants to see that. And it's true, you know, and call it what you will, but that's my opinion. When you're starting on all these people that clearly don't have the ability to fight back, it's called being a fucking bully. And then combined with that, you got your fucking team of security guards around you as well. You know, it's like, dude, just take a step back. Take a deep breath, right? You've made it. You're famous. You're rich. You're generationally wealthy. You know, why are you walking through with a chip on your shoulder trying to fucking fight everyone? I was reminded, and we're going to move on in just a second. Strickland, what do you think he's going to come on time? Have you seen the movie Dust Till Dawn?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember when on Dust Till Dawn, George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino, they've kind of kidnapped that family at the start, right?
Right.
And they're in the trailer and whatnot. And I think they go into a bar and they're sitting in a bar near the start. I've seen this movie far too many times. And the FBI have been looking for them and everything. And the old guy, is it Harvey Keitel? Yeah, Harvey Keitel turns around to him and says, are you that much of a loser that you can't tell when you've won? And George Clooney gets all mad and he's going to pull his fucking gun out. He's like, what the fuck you say? You call me a fucking loser? And he's like, no. I didn't call you a loser. I said, are you that much of a loser you can't tell when you've won? You've got the FBI looking for you, the whole police, everyone's coming for it, and you made it. You got across the border. You got away. You've won. McGregor has fucking won at life. Do you know what I mean? He's fucking won. He's smashed it. He is an inspiration to so many people out there, to mixed martial artists. What's up, Sean? I'll finish this point and we'll be right with you. You know, he's an inspiration to a lot of people. Are you so much of a loser you can't recognize when you fucking won? Anyway, on that rather poignant quote from Dusk Till Dawn, we welcome to the show for the first time. What's up, Sean Strickland?
Oh, man, dude. What's up, dude?
Hey.
Now, I just heard you talking about McGregor, man. McGregor is the fucking, like, pinnacle of success. And I'll tell you why, dude. Like, we're all just fucking dogs, and someone has our leash. You know, Dana's a dog to somebody. Somebody's holding his leash. I'm a dog to Dana. He's holding my leash.
Holding my leash.
The moment you become McGregor, dude, like, nobody has your fucking leash anymore. And that's, like, the fucking pinnacle of success. You get to go wherever the fuck you want.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean when you act like what the fuck you want, you have to be a total dickhead and starting fights with people that can't defend themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but like at the end of the day, don't forget, like, McGregor's like a white trash fuck who came into money. Like, at the end of the day, like, you can take the fucking take the trash out of the fucking hood, dude, but you're still trash.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
look, I couldn't say that, dude. We're actually, I think you might own my management company. I should probably shut the fuck up.
No. I'm the same way. I'm the same fucking way because I'm like, it's tricky, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But still, I'm going to speak my mind, especially when he talks shit about me online. Obviously, we're not here to talk about the Oscars, but we did have a little scrap. We had a little assault. We had a little Masvidal Kobe action going on in front of the entire planet last night. Will Smith slapping him. Do we want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about this company local to you first? That you're
We can talk about Chris Rock getting absolutely the shit slapped out of him.
What did you think?
At first, I thought it was fake. Like I was, but
same.
I thought, like, no way, Will Smith just walked up. I mean, like, Chris Rock has no idea what's happened. He's, like, waiting for a joke. He slapped the shit out of him.
But that looked weird, though. It did look weird. But when he sits down here, that's when you know it's real, because he's so mad. And he's like,
because they're not going to let them cuss like that.
Wife's name out your fucking mouth. And I was like, I went to Twitter and I went, Will Smith's a fucking legend, because I was laughing my ass off. And the amount of abuse I got back, oh, what, you're condoning assault? I said, no, I'm not condoning assault. But if you don't think that Will Smith storming on the stage, slapping Chris Rock at the punciest, most fanciest set of fucking, you know, privileged people, and he goes up on stage and smacking, if you got to see no one got hurt. Do you know what I mean? Will Smith embarrassed himself. I thought Chris Rock took it really, really well and handled it and continued with the show like a professional. No one got hurt. Do you know what I mean? But if you can't see the humor in that, if you don't think that's funny, I don't know what to tell you, because I think that was hilarious.
I thought it was funny too. And once he sat down and he started cussing like that, and you could hear the anger in his voice. But then you go back and watch it, like leading up to it, the joke wasn't that bad. When I seen the slap, because I didn't watch the fucking Oscars.
No,
I thought, like, oh, maybe he said something about, like, his wife cheating on him and sleeping with his son's friend or whatever the hell she did. Like, all right, that would make sense. But the joke wasn't even that bad. It was just about her shaving her head or being bald or whatever. But he's a comedian. That's his whole job at hosting the Oscars. That's what he's supposed to do. He's like, the whole crowd is nothing but a bunch of bougie ass rich people. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, they're going to be the ones getting made fun of. So, but he laughed at it initially. Like,
initially, you're right, he did.
But she didn't. So, like, I think once he realized, oh shit, this is my time to defend my wife, I guess, like, you got to do something.
I think it was the straw that brought the camel's back, because you're right. I mean, by all accounts, I mean, she has been up to no good. She's been having sexual relations all over the show. Do you know what I mean? I don't know too much about it. Believe it or not, I'm not studying the life of Jada Pinkett Smith, but I did see that she had a talk show a while ago and talked about it and told Will on air, which is just making a fool of him.
Which is he's been fucking ass of him.
Oh my God. Why would you do that? It's the Fresh Prince, bro. So he's being ridiculed. I remember 50 Cent. He goes after people hard on Instagram. Yeah. He was talking mad shit. Everyone was just making fun of him. And then now he thinks, I'm at the Oscars. I'm being nominated. I'm up for an award, which he won. And you're still fucking taking shots and you're making jokes about my wife, which you're right. It wasn't a bad joke, but I think it was just the straw that brought the camel's back. And weirdly enough, I kind of respected what he did. I'm like, he's like, you know what? Nah, because people have, in the words of Mike Tyson, got far too comfortable with talking shit and not getting punched in the face. Now, I'm not saying he deserved it, but I was like, you know what? If it pissed him off, he said, you know what? I'm a real fucking man. Fuck this. I didn't like that. Little bitch slap. And it wasn't bad. Brian, put that meme up. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of memes circulating. My mate sent me this one. Maybe it's not that funny. Maybe I'm just very childish. If Jaden Smith doesn't like jokes about alopecia, that's her loss. Oh, I laughed. That's her loss.
I need to do a better job of sending all the, like, I spend most of my days sending memes back and forth with all my friends. Yeah, I'm gonna have to start sending them to our group chat, because they're, some of them are fucking hilarious.
I was very disappointed then. I was like, wow, he doesn't class me as a friend yet. We're not in that zone, bro. Come on, send the memes, send the videos.
They're coming. They're incoming.
Send the decapitation.
They're gonna be nonstop. Eventually, you guys are gonna say, all right, dude, you gotta fucking slow down.
Yeah, yeah.
Relax, you gotta ease relax, up. You gotta relax.
Let me see. So we've got Paul Craig joining us in about 12 minutes. So do you know what? And then Will Smith afterwards, just staying on that thing, he then apologized for his outburst, but he never apologized to Chris Rock. What do you think he thinks today? Because, come on, I'm sure them two have met before. You know, they kind of move in those circles. Because it wasn't bad. You know, and then a lot of comedians are saying now, what is this, opening the door for anybody, you know, comedians to get slapped in the face? I mean, you do need to have a sense of humor, you know, but
I read somewhere.
He should apologize.
He should apologize and just be like, you know, hey, my bad. Like, it wasn't that. I'm sure they probably talk in the back, and they got mutual friends, I would imagine, that are going to help him, you know, iron that out. But it's less about the slap and more about where it was and the timing of it. It's, I mean, you slapped a dude in the middle of the goddamn Oscars. That's a little bit goddamn Oscars. Disrespectful. But I read somewhere that they had something going on with each other in 2016, too. So I get the vibe that they don't necessarily get along anyways. So, you know, it is what it is. Those guys will work that shit out.
It looked to me, because Will Smith, I mean, come on, one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. I mean, you know, does it get much bigger than that? But it seems like he's struggling a little bit mentally. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, just lately with the stuff with the wife and all the rest of it. I mean, we're not no celebrity TMZ gossip fucking show, so we're going to move on in a second. But it did just happen. And it's related to combat sports. But, you know, when he was talking and he said, what did he say? Denzel Washington said, the devil will show itself at, like, your biggest moment or something like that. So fuck me, because that is exact. It doesn't get bigger than that. You're nominated for an Oscar. If I did that, oh my God, like, Michael, what the fuck are you doing? You're up for an Oscar for that shitty movie that you did. Somehow you got nominated. Then you got hammered and you slapped the host of the Oscars. I mean, that's a movie in itself.
But,
I mean, that's
but if that story came out, I would be like, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, that makes sense. Yeah. When Will Smith does it, it's fucking shocking.
Last night, Will Smith slapping people at the Oscars. You must have seen the clip of it. Mate, what do you think? Talk us through it. Talk us through it. Give us your take. Mate,
he is the chief fluffer of fluffers, man. He is allowing guys to blast his female. And then he's then picking Chris Rock.
Like, that's a good point.
See if that was M. Dales. See if that was, like, The Rock had made a wee shitty comment about him. I guarantee you Will Smith is not fucking walking on that stage and slapping him.
100%.
Like, sure. And people are like, it's fake. Like, there is no way as a man would accept getting slapped off another man. Like, there's no fucking way. Like, I know people are like saying, well, it's obviously staged. There's no way you would let another man lay a hand on you, slap you like that in front of your peers and do nothing about it. Chris Rock had shat the bed there. He's been slapped, and it's one of these things that it brings us back to that, like, you know, when you were a child and you had a fight in school, and if somebody smacked you in the mouth, it would shut you up. That's what happened there, and he's taking it back. But, man, Will Smith, ultimate fucking cuckold, man.
Yeah, no, it was disappointing, because I'm a big fan of his, and I did enjoy it at the time. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious, because it's fucking like boring, so so fucking shocking. Do you know what I mean? Look at these fucking Ponzi's smacking each other and whatnot and having mental breakdowns, but All right, let's talk about Manscaped real quick. You know, the one, the leading, the best brand in below the waist grooming, okay? You got to stay nice and tidy down there, you know, but you want to do it without looking like you've had your balls trimmed by Edward Scissorhands. That's the reality here. And now with Manscaped, they're offering the Performance Package 4.0. In this package, you get the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got a great battery. It's waterproof. You can do it in the dark. It has a light on. The battery lasts for goddamn hours. But you also get the Weed Whacker. It is an ear and nose hair trimmer, so you don't look foolish. You get the Crop Preserver Bowl Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and you also get a travel bag to keep all your goods in. No, we're not done there. They also offer the Shear 2.0 kit to take care of your feet. They're just as important. Take care of the, you know, you're down below. I'd say that's more important. Do that. But the feet, they need trimming as well. So here you get the stainless steel nail cutters, you get the tweezers, you get the grooming scissors, and you get to take care of your feet. Right now, check out these products. They're great. Manscaped, you need a bit of that in your life. If you're a real man, if you're clean, you're hygienic, you need to go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code BISPING20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com, BISPING20 is the code. 20% off. Free shipping. It's a great deal. It's a great offer. They're going to drop it off at your house for nothing, and you will never cut your balls ever again. Obviously, you've got a fucking tremendous punching power. You know, you're putting people to sleep. Is that something that you were born with, or have you had to work on that? And that's a question that people ask all the time. What's your opinion on that?
It's like a mixture. Like, I was like, I always noticed, even growing up, I got in a lot of fights, and I noticed when I touch people, they go to sleep. Like, I knocked a lot of people out. But I think
how many? More, how many on the street?
Bro, I would never be able to count. I knocked hundreds of people out, bro.
Yeah. Anthony Smith, are you a bit of a street fighting history back in the day as well?
Yeah, dude. I was a half black kid in a small Nebraska town. I didn't have a choice.
Oh, no, Todd, he knew.
I didn't have a choice.
I was trying to tell you, bro. It is always the craziest shit. It always comes from out of nowhere. Like, you'll be chilling, you know, and then out of nowhere, somebody just.
I've never been known to start a fight, but I'll stay in it.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
If people say I want to, if anybody asks, I want no problems. But if they want problems, I say no problem.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to use that.
But if you want a problem, no problem. Oh, I like that. That's good. Tell me the craziest story, Jamal. Tell me that one that springs to mind. Like, you know, come on, you got a few.
Oh, man. Like a street fighting story?
Yeah, go on. This is what people want to know. They want to know a bit of the background. Obviously, we all saw you just knock the fuck out of Johnny Walker.
Which one is the one I already told? I think I already told a couple of them. I think I told the one where like eight dudes tried to jump me. I had to fight like eight dudes by myself. And I had to fight like 12 dudes by myself. Like,
you need to stop hanging out by yourself.
I wasn't by myself.
Get some friends, Jamal. What the fuck?
I wasn't by myself, bro. I thought the ones that was with me was solid. They wasn't rocking like that, I guess.
Isn't it funny though? Yeah, because I used to have that a lot. You know, your friends. Like, I used to get myself in a lot of fights, and I never started the fights or the start of the trouble. But sometimes, I'm not saying my friends started the trouble, but maybe they were the ones that started talking a little bit of shit in a bar or whatever, do you know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck, I gotta come in and save the day.
Yeah, I gotta, right, exactly. Because you know,
I gotta save the fucking day.
You know when your man's gonna need some assistance.
Exactly. But then they don't do fuck all. They're playing fucking pool or whatever. I'm a dickhead. This is your fight. But I'm the one that's getting put in the back of a police car.
Whoa.
I
never stuck around that long. I don't understand how people got caught. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I see light, I'm not that upset to where I'm like, yo, oh, fuck that. I'm ready to go. No, I'm out.
I'm leaving. I'm running.
I'm out of there. Two of them deuces way up to the sky, and we out of there. I mean, look, I think I got one. I got a story for y'all. So it was just one. I forget what had happened. My cousin was riding with this girl, and somehow like her boyfriend or some her ex or whatever saw them and followed them. Right. So they get into it. My cousin beat the dude up.
So a week later, we at my cousin's house. And this dude was like calling. Like he's like calling, like, oh, me and my boys, we about to pull up, ooh, this and that. So I'm like, all right. So we sitting there waiting. I called my other cousin, like, yo, this is what's happening, you know, come pull up. All right. So I say like two, three hours go by. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, bro, I'm going home, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I go to get, I'm getting ready to leave. They live in a cul-de-sac. So as I walk out on the porch, like three cars go by. I'm like, damn, is that them? They're like, I don't know. Cars pull back around the cul-de-sac. They come back and they stop, bro. Like nine dudes get out the car. I'm like, nine. And like three of these dudes are fucking huge, bro. One of them looked like he could have went first round D-line, swear. The other dude was like 6'6". The other one had to be at least about 6'5", bro. These dudes were tall. There were some big dudes. So instantly, I'm like, bro. the thought crept in my head, we might be ready. This might be the night we take an L. But you got to think, I've been beating people's ass for a long time. So I'm like, damn, this might be that night. So I picked a couple rocks up.
Hey.
He said, I ain't taking this out.
My right hand man got the baseball bat, and my cousin, for some reason, I don't know why, he got a pickle jar.
Right. I don't know where. And that's a solid fucking weapon, bro. Though. That's gonna hurt. But I don't pickle jar in the face.
Yeah. But like as they getting closer, I'm thinking like I'm starting to feel the moral side and stuff. Like, oh, like this is some bitch ass shit. They're gonna be like, oh, we put weapons out, they ain't gonna do nothing. And then like I've been sitting here for a long time. Like, I'm like, all right. I throw the rocks down. I tell my right hand man, you know what I mean? My right hand man, bro, tall. You'll see him sometimes with me after the fight, tall white dude, about my height, same build, all that, rock with me solid. All right. I'm like, bro, put the bat down. He like, fuck that. he was not trying to drop me, bro. He was not having to grab it from him, toss it in the house. So they come up, then they get to talking like, they're like, oh, woo, this and that. My man want to fight your cousin 1-on-1. I'm like, all right. They already fought 1-on-1. He just fought 1-on-1 the week before this, and he got his ass beat. So that sounded like some bullshit to me. Then, like, just how they were standing there, I've been waiting here for like 3 hours. I'm not standing. No, I was like, fuck that. If anybody right here fight, I'm about to fight. It's four of us. It's nine of them. Some talking went by. Then, I don't know. Dude somehow got up on my cousin and he hit him. He hit my cousin. My cousin went down. Like, all nine of these dudes tried to stump on my cousin at one time. Like, I guess they figured we'd be scared and we just weren't gonna do nothing. That was not the case. Instantly, I hit the dude closest to me. It's like a nice little stocky dude. He tries to like grab me, you know. Luckily I had a little bit of training at this point. Little hip block, knee to the stomach, head kick, dude goes to sleep. All right.
You head kick someone in a street fight?
Head kick this dude.
That's fucking nice. Fantastic.
I need him in the sternum, and when he stepped back, I stepped back and head kicked him. Head kicked him, bro. His like head like melted like by his ankles, and just it was nasty. He was out cold. Then like I always tell my people, bro, if we get in the street fighting, like we outnumbered, you go down, just yell, and I'm gonna come get you up. I hear my cousin yelling for me, so I run over. It's like three dudes like kicking on him. So, you know, the first dude, like, it was like his chin was like lit up in the moon. Knocked him out cold. Look, I hit this dude.
This takes me back.
I grab my cousin and I pull him up. So as I pull him up, like, I hear like, I look up and I see one of my boys is in the street. It's like three dudes on him. Like they on bro ass, like just hitting him. So I run over, you know, but like he's trying to reach up. He grabbed the dude's shirt. When he grabbed the dude's shirt, he left up, pow, and hit the dude. When he hit the dude, I ran over and knocked the other dude out. Like I'm throwing hitter quitters at this point because I'm hitting nothing but jaw. I'm knocked him out. Look up again. My little cousin, he's like probably 10. at the time, he comes out the house and like kicks one of the dude that I knocked out. He like kicks him. I'm like, oh, shit. I see a dude coming out. So I run. I like drop kick this dude in the back and he falls down. I just kind of lay on his back and just start hitting him, you know? Then I just like hear like a loud boom, electrical box going off. My boy, my man, that was getting dipped in the street, the big ass dude is like choking the shit out of him now. So now I got to run over here and help him. I start running over there. The dude sees me coming. He sees me coming. He pushed my boy and he runs. Like a bunch of these dudes just start going and they go, they start running towards the car. One of them's like walking past me, but he's like talking shit the other way. I don't know if he didn't see me or what. So I just felt like I needed to reach out and touch him. So I hit him. He turns around, bro. He's like this. He like did like this, like a what's up thing, like that, and like dips his head down. So he dipped his head down, I just head kicked him. You bro, I head kicked this dude. He falls dead on his ass, and like they grab him, they pull him in the car, and these dudes take off and leave. Right. So these guys leave. One dude's like knocked out, still like by this tree. All right, I see him. All of a sudden, there's like a lot of commotion. I'm not going to say what happened. Bro, they left two of them. They left this dude, right? My cousin get the breaking windows out. I ain't going to say it. Somebody get the breaking windows out.
There you go.
Somebody get the breaking windows out, right? So then all of a sudden, I hear somebody yelling. Like the dude like wakes up. He's like starts talking shit. And like he like, it's like, I'm still standing. You know, I get to grabbing my boy. It's like, I'm still like, obviously I'm doing damage, but I still got sense about the situation. You know what I'm saying? I'm grabbing my boys. They just trying to maul him. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah. I'm like, bro, get in your car. Go ahead and take off. You know what I'm saying? Dude, like, as soon as I look back, dude tried to hit me, bro.
No.
He hit me, bro. So he swung. I just dipped back. I hit him. When I hit him, bro, his like chin like collapsed. I'll never forget that shit. It was probably one of the nastiest hits I've ever landed on somebody. His chin like collapsed into his face. Pretty sure it was like his jaw shattered and he just like fell. Bang! As soon as he hits the ground, like my cousin goes to try to kick the dude. I grab him. And I hear somebody from behind. It's like, oh, get to talking. And then like one of the big ass dudes, we like see him. He's still standing over there. And he like threw something. So yeah, I mean, just gotta be
over there.
Just stepped off in his ass a little bit, you know. Just stepped
Jamal,
off a
little bit. I gotta say, you come on the show, right? The first, you were a little quiet, you weren't saying much. We asked you to tell a story about a street fight. You fucking came right to life. You're like, fuck yes, let's go. The personality came out. You got a smile on your face.
Now we're talking his language.
It just takes me back a little bit, man. You know, don't get me wrong, get some mischief. I don't, you know what I mean? I try not to be like that no more and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But I have some fun.
I think we're all like that. I think most of us probably do our best to avoid any kind of altercations these days, but we had a life before this.
Exactly. You talked there.
We had some times.
Yeah. Had some times indeed. And sometimes over a beer, they're fun to talk about. Congratulations, Hamza. There he is. Well, let's see the nuptials. Let's see him with his wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at Hamza.
I know.
Okay. Congratulations.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Good for him. Are you married, Anthony?
I am.
How long you been married?
We've been together 13 years, married for 2.
And how was the wedding? Was it a?
It was huge.
It was big.
Jesus Christ! It was awesome. Everything
about you is just better than mine. Mine was terrible.
Was it? No, it was. I mean, we took 10 years or more to. I mean, we were engaged for like 6 or 7 years.
Took us 15 years.
Before you got married?
Yeah. We met in 99. We got married in 2014. It was a small wedding. Yeah. How many people was at yours? I think we had about 60 or 70.
I think we sent out like 300 invites and I think we got like, you know, 50, like 250 probably were there. It was, you know what? That'll really make you figure out who you like and who you don't. You're like, I like that guy, but he's not worth $25 a plate.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. My problem was a lot of people just didn't come because a lot of people that I invited were in England, of course.
Right.
It's a long way to come. You know what I mean? So some family members couldn't make it. A lot of friends can't make it.
I think with our sport, you make a lot of friends. So, you know, there's, you know, the whole Factory X team came. So, I mean, there's fucking 50 right there. You know what I mean? So then our family and friends and like we let all the kids come too. So like a lot of those are kids.
I invited everyone I know. Do you know what I mean? Including everyone from the gym, the cleaning ladies, the guy who runs the guardhouse. You know, literally anyone in my contacts, and still we only had like 50 people show up. You know,
that's still a good time.
Nobody wanted to come, Anthony. I'm not popular.
No, I'm.
You
don't lie. I'm don't
joking.
Lie.
I am joking. I'm joking.
You probably wanted it small.
No, we did. We did. It's expensive, as you say. Very, very expensive. Crazy expensive. In fact, did you have a videographer?
We did. We did.
We didn't.
Yeah, we got a video. We got video of the whole thing, starting from the morning to all the way to through the ceremony. Then the man, you know what? I got a good wedding story.
Go ahead.
I got fucking annihilated at the what do they call it? The wedding reception. And so we go to this bar after the reception, and I'm standing there with my cousin. Me and my cousin, you know, it's he lived on the farm that I grew up on, so he. He's all dressed up all nice and I'm all nice. And there's this lady that's in the bar and she's there with her boyfriend or husband or whatever. And my wife is there and she's in a wedding dress and everyone's having a great time, but I am annihilated. I just gotten off the party bus and
hold on. This is the day of the wedding, right?
Yeah. So we got married in the morning, like 11 then, or maybe later. Anyways, we got married during the day, then had the wedding reception, did the cake, the dinner, and then the drinks and the party afterwards. And then after that was over at like 11:30 or midnight, then we got on a party bus and went to a couple bars.
Because that's why I asked, because I was like, hold on, party bus. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Normally throughout the day of a traditional wedding, we're not jumping on the party bus. But okay, makes sense. Continue.
So we get off the bus, go into the bar, and me and my cousin are standing there with each other. And we're drunk, so we're like hanging on each other, you know.
Love you, and buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So proud of you, Anthony.
Being the biggest losers.
No, I'm proud of you, man. It's fucking amazing where we've come from, and we're here today.
That's the exact conversation we were having. I'm positive of it. But this lady, very, very nice, says, hey, did you just get married? And I said, yeah. She asks, you know, is that your bride? Obviously, it's the only fucking lady here in a wedding dress. I say, yeah. And she's like, well, you guys look really, really great. You know, congratulations. And then turns back around. And the guy that she was with, he uses the hard F word. I don't want to say it on here, but he said, why are you talking to those fucking, and then calls us that word. Oh. So my uncle is flaming gay, like flaming gay. Yeah. Love the guy to death, but like I'm super offended by that. So I wig out, like, don't know why, like
wig
I
out.
I freaked out. So then that guy was like, well, fuck you. So I end up getting fucking drug out of this bar
wedding day.
Ruined the whole fucking thing. Ruined the whole thing. Went back to the hotel. They drugged me back on the bus. Honor. Of every LGBTQ God person out there.
God bless you. Good for you.
I just fucking hate that. I hate idiots like that. And it was just, it's a trigger for me and it upset me. And to you know, my poor wife, you know, her and 10 guys had to drag me out of the goddamn bar in my wedding suit, got me back to the hotel. I passed out.
If I'd have done that on my wedding day, you know what I mean? Listen, Rebecca,
she was pissed.
Rebecca's very tolerant. She has put up with me a lot of shit over the years. You know, I went to fucking prison. The reason I went to prison is because I was getting arrested a lot. This is when we first met each other. I was a kid. I was an idiot. You know what I mean? But even still, to this day, she puts up with a lot of shit. But if I got into a fight on the wedding day, oof, that might have been an unforgivable one.
Yeah. And, you know, Michaela's very tolerant, too. I'm just, you know, we just got weird lifestyles. We're just weird people anyways because of what we do. It's just, we're weird. And she's very tolerant, but she was not happy. And there was like no fists or, you know, no punches thrown or anything like that. But it was an ordeal and the whole kind of bar was involved. Yeah. And it's not a good look to get drug out of the bar on your wedding night.
No, but it makes for a good story on the Believe You Me podcast. All right, listen. I went to New Orleans recently and I got punched in the face off some little asshole on Bourbon Street. Now, you might have seen this story. You might have heard it on Believe You Me. You might have seen me talk about it on Instagram. But we've had some developments from the Bourbon Street bastard. That is what I called this guy. The audacity of this man. He has gone out there and done a YouTube video calling me a little bitch, saying he's right hand refresh, and we're going to get into it, okay? But before we talk about it, remember, subscribe, ring the bell, all that good stuff. Now, a few months ago, I got out to New Orleans for a few days with my family. Never been. Want to see some of this beautiful country. Obviously, there's many, many beautiful cities and states that I haven't been to yet. So we go down to New Orleans. And like an idiot, I stayed on Bourbon Street. The place is the pit. It is hell on earth. New Orleans was very, very cool. And by the way, with Hurricane Ida, I hope everyone's well down there. Terrible scenes, so wishing you all the best. But still, we went down there. We had a lovely time in New Orleans. But as I say, Bourbon Street's awful, but our hotel was right on it. Oh my God, never again. So we have a few nice days in New Orleans. Final night, there's me, my wife, Ellie, my daughter, and Lucas, my son. Callum was away wrestling. I said, come on, let's just walk down Bourbon Street the final night, you know, soak up the atmosphere, because it is crazy. It is a scene. It's a bit of a laugh. You know, you got people throwing up. Everyone's hammered. They're wasted. There's a lot of mental stimulation going on. I said, so let's walk down there. Let's check it out. So we're walking down the street and there's madness. There's people everywhere. People throwing up. Everyone's drunk. And there's like a group of young guys and they're playing drums on like some dustbins and stuff like that. And they were actually really good. And this girl's twerking. It was kind of a wild scene. So anyway, everyone's standing around. They're watching them. It's loud. They're proud. They're making noise. So like a typical tourist asshole, I pulled the phone out and I'm just doing a little Instagram story, as you do. And some guy comes up to me. He says, hey, can I film here? I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? I said, it's Bourbon Street. Shut the hell up. And he says, listen, you can't film it, okay? And I'm like, dude, it's Bourbon Street. If you want to film it, I'm going to film it. And then he gets in my face. He says, hey, I'm not going to tell you again. Put the phone away. So I said, suck my fucking dick, right? Because he was being very aggressive. He was in my face. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, right as I say that, bang, he punches me in the face. So God bless him. Fair play to the guy. I didn't see it coming. But it was the weakest punch I've ever felt in my life. Now, there was a lot going on. I'm with my kids. I'm with my wife. I'm not going to roll around on the streets and have a fight. Secondly, I didn't feel any threat anyway because it was honestly the weakest punch I've ever felt in my life. And my God's honest reaction to when he punched me, I started laughing. I started laughing so hard because he acted so tough and he got in my face like he was a real gangster. And then he had the balls to throw the punch. And when it connected, oh my God, Lucas, my 11-year-old, he could hit me harder, honestly. So I laughed, right? And I'm walking away laughing my head off. I'm like, come on, get out of here. As I say, I'm not going to fight. But secondly, you guarantee someone's got a weapon, someone's got a gun, something like that. And I'm with my kids on vacation, come on. So I walk away and I'm laughing about the whole thing because he gave me something to talk about on my podcast on Believe You Me. So whatever, all good. I wasn't hurt. Anyway, a few days later, it starts coming out. This guy is at it again. He's always got the same clothes on. Some people on Twitter sent me a video of this guy and he assaults somebody else. This guy that he hit was walking away. He sneaks up behind him, boom, punches him in the face. Same clothes, same neck scarf, same jeans, same hairstyle. It was the same guy. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because yesterday it comes out on YouTube. This little shit has gone out and given his own version of events, did a little YouTube story, and yeah, check it out, take a look.
What's up, YouTube? So, I'm here today to talk to y'all about this shit that happened on Bourbon Street with me and Michael Bisping. So, come to find out, he actually was a UFC fighter, which I did not know that was him. But if I did know that was him, I probably would have still hit this motherfucker anyways, but... Anyways, this the full breakdown of what happened. So he's sitting there filming a band or whatever, right? I have a high tendency of cameras being pointed towards me in certain areas and certain locations because of my past history. But, so he's filming a band or whatever, right? But I see him walk past me. I didn't recognize him. I would have recognized him, but it was too dark or whatever out there. So he's just chilling, recording the band or whatever. So I see his phone go to my face, put my hand up and say, yo, stop filming me. He says, what? I said, stop filming me. He said, this is Bourbon Street. It's a public place. So I'm like, all right, it's a public place. Respect my mind. Don't film me. So he like, yeah, I do what the fuck I want. This is Bourbon Street. Suck my dick. I said, yeah, suck your dick. All right, anyways. Suck your dick, huh? It took a little, like, a little bit just to register. Because I'm like, what the fuck? So once he told me to suck his dick, 6 seconds in, I punched him. But I punched him so quick to where it was like, it wasn't shit, but it was something. My right hand is fractured. So all that bullshit going around talking about, I hit soft as a bitch, this and that, I'm a pussy, this and that. People who know me. So that's all I got to say for, as far as that instance. But to say I actually really wanted to be a UFC fighter, and like I actually hit a UFC fighter, that shit was crazy how it played out. But of course, he's going to actually sit there and say, oh, yeah, he hits like a bitch, he's a pussy, this and that. Everybody going to talk this shit, this and that. But Michael Bisping, you a bitch. If you want your fight or your one-on-one or whatever, I'm down. So, yeah, that's that. Signing out. Peace.
All right, so as you can see, I mean, even if the guy is a juvenile delinquent, if he is a thug and he's going out assaulting people, he's very honest, because that is basically what happened. He says the same version of events as I did, and then he punches me out of the blue. But I've just got a few things to say, my friend. Number one, you're not very smart. We know this anyway, but still, you're saying to me that you didn't want me filming because basically you've got a criminal past. But now you're going to do a video and you're going to put it on YouTube and you're going to rat yourself out. I mean, if I was a little bitch, if I was as much as a bitch of you as you, I could go to the cops and say, look, here it is. Here's the guy. So you've ratted yourself out. You've grassed yourself up, as we say in England, for one. But still, I wouldn't dream of doing that. Secondly, he says, oh, my right hand is fresh. Bro, your right hand ain't fresh. I'm telling you, mate. When you hit me, I laughed my ass off. Your right hand is fresh. No, your right hand is the opposite of fresh. Your right hand, if it was a carton of milk, is that one, it's been at the back of the fridge. It's got all moldy. It stinks. You pour it out, blub, blub, blub. It's all gloopy. It looks like cottage cheese. It is anything but fresh. And then finally, at the end, you're calling me out to a one-on-one fight. Holy shit. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. Listen, mate. I'm not interested in fighting you, and I wish you all the best. You've obviously got some problems, you've got some challenges in life. But if you really want to fight, I've got an offer for you. Listen, you clearly need the money, right? So here's what I'll do. On my podcast, Believe You Me, we have a little guy called Harrington, right? He cannot fight. He's doing a little bit of training these days. He thinks he can fight, but he's out of shape. He's not skilled. He's not very smart, right? I'll give you $1,000. Guaranteed, I will give you $1,000 if you have a exhibition sparring match with Harrington from the Believe You Me podcast. If you're such a tough guy and you want to fight, there it is, my friend, you Bourbon Street bitch. $1,000 to fight Harrington. But still, in the meantime, there you go. Can you believe this? This guy, after all this time, comes out, does a little video. I thought it's in the end of this guy, but we've got to find him. We've got to terrorize him. If you know who he is, send me some info. But yeah, there you go, buddy. If you see this video, I'm offering you $1,000 to have a boxing match against Mike Harrington from the Believe You Me podcast. There you go. Ball's in your court, buddy. Anyway, there it is. The Bourbon Street bitch, the Bourbon Street bastard. He probably won't take the money, but you never know. Anyway, thanks for watching. Remember, subscribe, ring the bell.
All right, you tell me, was that better or worse than missing an episode altogether? I'm going to say, that was pretty good. For Thursday, when you weren't expecting an episode, because we told you on Monday, we probably weren't going to do a second episode, you find this one, boom. This hits you out of nowhere. Clips you haven't thought about in years. Stuff that makes you laugh. Stuff that makes you think. Stuff that makes you want to get up and go fight somebody at your own wedding. Yeah, it's great. If you enjoyed this, you like listening to us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. You leave a 5-star rating, positive review, all that good stuff. It really helps the show. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. You have that notification bell clicked to find out whenever new episodes come out. And if you're in the premiere, just hit that little like button. It really helps us out, helps out the algorithm, helps people check out the show, whatever. You want us to grow. I want us to grow. Come on. Lastly, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head over to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, and guess what? In just a couple of days, the rate of Gas Digital Network is going up. For right now, it's going to stay flat, and it'll stay flat for you at this rate, locked in forever and ever. You'll never get a price increase. You know how Netflix keeps going up every 6 months, every 9 months, because their stock price keeps going down? That's never going to happen to you with Gas Digital if you sign up before September 1st. So you got just a couple days to get that in. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you on Monday. Again, Anthony Smith will be back. You won't have to hear me. I'll talk less than this on Monday's episode. Sick.